Last night in Wisconsin, Republican Governor Scott Walker, who's thought to be weighing a bid for the White House, used his State of the State speech to highlight Wisconsin's improving finances.
The state's pension and debt ratio is one of the best. Our bond rating is positive. And the rainy day fund, it's the largest in state history, 165 times bigger than when we first took office.
But Governor Walker still has to figure out how to close Wisconsin's $2 billion budget shortfall.
And it's even worse in Illinois. First-term Governor Bruce Rauner inherited a deficit that could go as high as $6 billion.
We are in the midst of a government financial crisis that has been building for decades. Its roots lie in bad decisions, bad practices, and bad management by state government. Our government has spent more than we could afford, borrowed money, and called it revenue.
Bruce Rauner, a Republican. Further west in Arizona, another Republican, newly elected Governor Doug Ducey, told the legislature he will not raise taxes to close that state's billion-dollar gap.
I look at it this way. If the problem is spending more than we have, the solution cannot be even more spending. Instead of demanding more revenue from the people, I suggest we demand more fiscal responsibility from our government.
Well, as we said, some states are doing much better. And to give us a wider view, we're going to bring in Arturo Perez. He tracks state budgets for the National Conference of State Legislatures. Arturo, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
Well, if you had to describe the state of state budgets in 2015, what would it be right now if you look across the map? Well, how are states doing?
Generally, as the new year starts here, most states are in a stable situation regarding both their revenues and expenditures. Most states that are expecting that by the end of the fiscal year, which rolls around about June 30th for most states, that they'll be meeting their revenue estimates or exceeding them. But there are some exceptions. There are some states that are underperforming relative to their revenue forecast that was set this time last year when they were setting the budgets for the current fiscal year.
And some of them have very different reasons for their troubles. Let's start with the state of Illinois, which has the lowest credit rating, the worst credit rating in the United States. What's going on there in Illinois?
The biggest problem that Illinois is facing right now is that when they started the fiscal year this past summer, they had a structural deficit of about $1.4 billion, due in large part to the fact that the legislature did not extend a temporary tax increase on the personal income taxes beginning January 1 of this year. So that impact will fall in FY 2015 as well as the next fiscal year because the temporary tax will not be there for the state to collect.
So a situation that wasn't great to begin with may get worse. What about in Kansas, where the Republican governor, Sam Brownback, won re-election despite some controversial things that he did with the state budget there? They've had some decisions on tax policies that not everyone has thought worked out too well in Kansas. How is Kansas doing?
Kansas is another one of those states that is currently projecting a budget shortfall in the current fiscal year that will have to be addressed. The reason there is that the cuts to personal income tax, along with some school finance litigation, has resulted in an almost $300 million shortfall that will need to be addressed.
Now, oil prices have played a big role in state budgets because of the tax that they collect based on profits at oil companies. And I'm thinking of the producer states, North Dakota, Alaska, Texas. Let's talk about Alaska. How are they doing now with the price of oil dropping so dramatically?
Well, Alaska is definitely, of all the oil-producing states, in the most difficult situation given the current state of oil prices. They're, in fact, looking at about a $3.5 billion shortfall in the current fiscal year. Their budget was based on about a $105 price for a barrel of oil, and it's the latest numbers were about just over $45 a barrel. So
yeah, that's a big drop. And do non-oil-producing states see a boost in their revenues when the oil price goes down because consumers have more money in their pockets?
In talking to various legislative economists around the country, it is expected that the dramatic drop in oil resulting in the lower price at the pump will result in a net positive for consumers as consumers have additional spending or monies for spending, and that's going to be a net positive not just for the U.S., but for individual states.
Which state is in the best shape financially right now as we look forward to 2015?
There are several states that have indicated that they're hitting all the cylinders in terms of revenues. There are three states in particular, for example, that are exceeding their revenue forecasts at this point. Hawaii, New Mexico, and Oklahoma were reporting that they were exceeding their most recent revenue forecasts.
Hmm. And why is that? What have they done so well?
Primarily, it's the economy in their states that after so many years of a slow recovery, we're starting to see some positive outcomes in personal income tax elections, general sales tax elections, and corporate income tax elections that collectively make up the largest component of state revenues. Over 60% of state revenues come from those three sources.
Now, as we saw in this recent election, a lot of Republicans did very well, and they picked up state legislatures, they picked up the governor's houses in a number of states. What happens now in terms of the states that are in trouble, that have budget gaps? Are we likely to see just big cuts because they don't want to raise taxes, because that doesn't go along with the Republican philosophy?
Well, what we've seen in the past when states have been in a situation similar to what we're seeing right now with some unexpected budget shortfalls, states have generally gone to their budget first. That is to say that they've made some cuts in their expenditures. They've also have tapped reserves, rainy day fund reserves, cash balances. And lastly, as I mentioned earlier, in the case of Illinois and some other states, there's been some tax increases, sometimes of a temporary nature. We saw in several states. Any combination of that will probably be visited by the states.
I did notice that in Florida, Governor Rick Scott, who was just reelected, has announced a big boost in education spending. Is that something we're seeing around the country?
We expect that there will be several programs, including K-12 education, that have been cut in the past or in recent years that will probably be seeing some additional support. So it's not surprising that a state with the type of growth that we've seen in Florida would be looking at K-12 education. K-12 education is the largest single component of general fund spending for the states, accounting for about one out of every three state dollars. It's one of those programs that has consistently been sort of on the front burner for growth.
That's Arturo Perez, who follows fiscal policy with the National Conference of State Legislatures, joining us from Colorado Public Radio. Arturo, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.